رسول الله كريم صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد أيها المسلمون. The name of God, most gracious, most compassionate. Praise be to God, the cherisher and sustainer of the worlds. The prayers and peace be upon the Prophet, upon his descendants, upon his companions, upon the righteous be peace, all of them. And we pray Allah's peace and blessings will be upon us here today, O Muslims. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah waqtuhu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. I make open testimony that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah alone, and I make open testimony that Muhammad is the last and universal messenger prophet, the seal of the prophets to mankind. First of all, we would like to pray and thank Allah for continued growth and progress, and we pray to Allah to grant us good in this life and in the life to come, and that He save us from the torment of the fire. Next, on behalf of the Appreciation Dinner Committee and staff, we would like to thank our leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad, the Muslim American spokesman for human salvation, for directing us, that is, this community, to the proper path of Al-Islam, which has given us an excellent opportunity for human growth. And Brother Imam, some of us are just about now on automatic pilot, about ready to go here. We would like to thank those imams from around the country who served on the planning committee for the convention and who used their talents and resources to help in the success of this convention. Just to name a few, Imam Clyde Rahman from Cleveland, Imam Kazim Ahmed, who now lives in Miami, Florida, Imam Fahim Shuaib from Oakland, California, Imam Shaker Mahmoud from Boston, Massachusetts, Imam Pleman Alameen from Atlanta, Georgia, Imam Omar Shahid from Columbia, South Carolina, Imam Fred Nuruddin, also of Miami, and Imam Hassan Mubarak from Detroit. That's just to name a few of them. There were many more, but of course I think they understand that we appreciate their service and their contribution to the convention. We thank all of the presenters and the moderators of the workshops, as well as all of the workshop participants, and all of you 1990 Islamic conventioners. And a special thank you to all of the Atlanta Appreciation Dinner Committee members and all of the youth participants. The main objective of this 1990 convention is to provide a work arena for us to express our interests and concerns through the forming of associations where people of like interests come together with those who share the same interests, and they establish a structure through which they can work and also establish an agenda for the years ahead. Some of the associations that were formed at this and last year's conventions are the Cable Program Producers Association, the Halal Products Producers Association, the Islamic Business Association, and the Educational Association. I borrow some words from Imam W.D. Muhammad in an interview that he conducted yesterday with Newsweek magazine, where he said that we need to build the Muslim life and identity. And we hope that through these associations that we will further accomplish those words, that we will further accomplish that particular idea to build, continue to build the Muslim life and identity. Next year, we hope to have an even bigger and better convention, and we pray to Allah to increase us in understanding and to help us in building the Muslim life and identity. You know, the theme of this year's convention is building for our future through comprehensive awareness. The future looks very bright for us all. We are winners. Let us pray to Allah to keep us on the winning team. That is the team of the believers. Allah tells us in Quran that the believers will eventually win through. We pray to Allah that He will guide us on in that success and let us all stay on that team. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. With the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, praise be to Allah, the Lord and cherish of all the worlds. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu rasuluhu. I bear witness that nothing deserves worship except Allah, and I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad is his messenger and his slave servant. We extend the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum. Once again, welcome to the 1990 Islamic Convention, and welcome to Atlanta, Georgia. Of course, this is the main part of our convention. You know, most of us don't need to hear an introduction for Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad, but surely there are a few here that may not really be that familiar with the Imam. And because most religious gatherings, almost any kind of public gathering, the speakers are involved in so much entertainment that those who do need the introduction to the Imam, when they first hear him without an introduction, they may turn their ears off because he doesn't come up with all this great excitement. You wonder what's happening because you see all of us excited. And then when the Imam comes up, he starts off at a very calm and low-key pace. And you're trying to figure out, well, you're perplexed. Why are all these people so excited? We're excited because our hearts and our minds have been united. And we just don't have to wait to get a good physical feeling or a good emotional feeling to get excited. We can get excited by the intellect, by the spirit, and it can get all of the other parts of ourselves involved. So we're not missing out on anything now. We're getting it all because Allah has blessed us with a religion that is perfected, a book wherein there is no doubt, a prophet who is the messenger to all the worlds, and a mercy to all the worlds. And we've got a leader today who's so entrenched in the Quran and so committed to following the sunnah of the prophet that every time he talks, we get excited. So I think I do have to give a little introduction to those who are not familiar with the Imam. And perhaps many of us who are familiar with the Imam need a little introduction so that we can be committed. We know we're going to hear something good. We know we're going to hear something beneficial. We know we're going to hear something that we need. So perhaps we need the introduction so that we can be committed to use what we hear when we leave here. Really, you ought to take your own personal oath that I'm going to work with what the Imam gives me today the moment after I leave here. And we do that, that word will begin to transform us. It won't just be a memory. See, some, if we leave here, with another attitude, it'll just be a memory. I remember when the imam said this. But that's not why he's here. He's not here to just give us memories. He's here to open up the life that has been revealed in the Quran and established in the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This man is a Quranic thinker who wants us and others to think Quranically as well. He don't want us just to think his way. He wants us to think Quranically. He brought to this community freedom. But not just any kind of freedom. He has been preaching the freedom that's in the Quran and the freedom that's established by the Prophet, and that freedom is a productive freedom. And that's the only freedom Imam Muhammad has offered. Sometimes we hear people say, well, he freed us. And in their tone, it's like, well, I can do what I want to do. Now, he freed us to be productive human beings and citizens of this world. Imam speaks, and he does not allow us to make this great religion small. He won't allow us to do it. Some of us want to make the religion small. Some of us think that the religion is just the way we are dressed. And Imam Muhammad will not allow us to make it that small. Now, I'm not going the direction it went earlier, you know. Imams know what I'm talking about. We got a lecture earlier on what kind of dress wasn't acceptable. Just putting it either way, whether we think that this particular dress makes me a Muslim or not having this particular dress makes me a Muslim, that's too small for this religion. That's too small. Imam wants us to see the great blessing that Allah the Most High has bestowed upon all of the world. And in order to see that great blessing, we have to think bigger than the little minds that the world wants to give us. He came and he first taught us that we need to perform dawah on ourselves. And we need to propagate the religion to our own selves and our own souls. Then he said, look, you need to perform dawah in your home. Dawah with your family. Propagation with your family. Then he said, okay, masjid, mosque, masajid, you're autonomous. You need to perform dawah in your city. Don't just look for dawah to be in one city, in Chicago, or maybe just in Mecca. He said, you're autonomous. You're a free masjid in the city. Perform dawah in your city. He says, you're a Muslim in America. He said, you are responsible for the propagation and the establishment of al-Islam in America. Though we know Allah is the one who has all the control. Allah is the one who converts. But we have the responsibility to propagate. He says, you don't have it all on an international scope. As a community, as this community said, well, no, you don't have it all. You need to relate with your brothers and sisters of other countries, your Muslim brothers and sisters. You need to open up, bring them in, work with them, let them work with you. You don't have it all as a community, but you do have it all in the last prophet. Prophet Muhammad, he's the completed. He's the last. He's the fulfillment. The Quran is perfect. So we have it all in the Quran and in the example of the Prophet. May God's peace and blessing be upon him. But though we don't have it all as a community, we have something that's very, very valuable to the world, Ummat. We have something to offer. He said, don't think that you just have to go there and copy what everybody else is doing. Allah has blessed you. Has blessed us to have something very, very special. If this is a message for all the worlds, don't think that it can be contained in one little part of the world. Allah says there are worlds that you know and worlds that you do not know. We want to mention that, of course, we have an overflow crowd today. And though there are people here to hear the Imam and see the Imam that we can't see through the techniques of technology, we're able to take this picture downstairs to our overflow crowd. So not only can they hear, they can see as well. Allah the Most High says, whoever desires the dress of this world, whoever desires the garments or the clothing or the protection, the dress of this world, with Allah is the dress of this world and of the next. Allah says, whoever desires a harvest of this world, we extend it to him, but there is no share for him in the hereafter. The best dress, Allah says, is taqwa. Prophet Muhammad said, fear God, in telling us what taqwa was. Fear God as if you see him. You can't see him, but know for certain that he sees you. Dear Muslims, many of us have clearly seen and continue to see that that is the spirit of Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad. That true spirit of fearing God as if he sees him. And he knows for certain that God sees him. And he responds, he lives that way, and that's why we're here. We're here so that we can get the proper dress. Allah has given us the dress. But we're here to find out how to put it on. Allah says the best dress is taqwa. And we're here to find out how we can clothe ourselves better. We're here to have additional garments put on us. We're here to be addressed by one who wears the best dress so naturally. By one who brings insights to such a clear focus that we can't help but be better covered. So dear brothers and sisters, what all of us are here for today, to hear our leader, the leader, the spokesman for human salvation. As the brother said, he wants the Imam to expand that title. Muslim spokesman in the Western Hemisphere. Hold up. Imam doesn't like all these titles. But our brother and our leader, Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad, takbir! 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 Thank you, praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah, the Lord sustainer of all the worlds. Believers, Muslims, people, assalamu alaikum. And in case someone not familiar, I always say that means peace be unto you. But I have come now to want to say, give you a translation that is more accurate. Peace be on you.
We are thankful to Allah. We praise Him. We acknowledge that He alone is God. There is no partner with Him. He runs and manages or runs the creation, the universe, alone by Himself. He needs no help from any. He exists free of His creation, depending on nothing from it. He is the Lord most merciful, who says that He created us expressly for His mercy. We give praise to Him, and we thank Him for the gift to humanity and to the world of the one who's called the mercy to all the worlds, Muhammad the Prophet, the last Prophet, the Messenger of God. The peace and the blessings of Allah be upon him. The peace, the prayers, and the peace be upon him, and upon his descendants, upon his companions. Ameen. I don't like to wear glasses. I don't most of the time. But sometimes I have to make it easier. The topic for us today, as most of you know, I'm sure, is race and business. Promoting race and business, and understanding how our religion, Al-Islam, the religion of the Quran, the religion of about 1 billion people, Muslims, on this earth, and growing fast, gives us solution to resolve the conflict in our life, in our concern, for our concerns. And this topic will address how our religion resolves the conflict for race and business. First, I would like to read some sayings of the Prophet before going into the address itself, as a great help to this presentation. When we know something more about the Prophet himself, it is easier for us to grasp and appreciate what is given to us as Al-Islam, or what is given us to us from the best sources for Muslim, the first source, the Quran, the Holy Book, and the life of the Prophet. Peace and the blessings be on him, the prayers and peace on him. And by the way, this booklet I'm going to read from on Prophet Muhammad's sayings has the spelling of his name, M-O-H-A-M-M-E-D. That was the popular spelling for a long time. I understand that spelling started with the French, from this French. You know the Prophet's name is spelled in many different ways. The most unfamiliar way that I know of is the way the Turkish Muslims spell the name. But the name of our Prophet is the same, and is to be pronounced the same, regardless to how the spelling varies. It's Muhammad, 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 Muhammad. The first saying I'm going to read is the saying numbered 15, saying number 15 in this book. This book is called Sayings of the Prophet, and it's by Saida Chaudhry with illustrations by Pamela Howell. It is better to sit alone than in the company with the bad. And it is better still to sit with the good than to sit alone. It is better to speak to a seeker of knowledge than to remain silent. But silence is better than idle words. Continuing with sayings of our prophet, peace be upon him. Serve Allah as you would if you could see him. Although you cannot see him, he can see you. And I believe that was already said. That quote was already given. Again, a saying for sayings of the Prophet. A Muslim who meets with others and shares their burdens is better than one who lives a life of seclusion, and contemplation. Again, from our Prophet. Allah does not look at your appearance or your possessions, but he looks at your heart and your deeds. Again, the best richness is the richness of the soul. Again, keep yourselves far from envy, because it eats up and takes away from good actions, like fire eats up and burns wood. You who have never heard the sayings of the Prophet, I'm sure you are getting acquainted with him now. The peace and the blessing be on him. When three persons are together, two of them must not whisper to each other without letting the third hear, because it would hurt the third person. The person is not a perfect Muslim who eats till he is full and leave his neighbors hungry around him. Conduct yourself in this world as if you are here to stay forever. Prepare for eternity as if you are going to die tomorrow. Now, I've just selected a few sayings from this small example of the sayings of the last prophet and universal messenger, Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the prayers and the peace be upon you. Again, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. And now I want to introduce to you some thoughts for this topic that I hope will enable us to come to the conclusion that we do have a sure, positive, safe solution for resolving conflicts of race and business. Religion-associated imagery and racism is what I want to talk to you first about. Worldwide racism is not preserved in racial groups. But you have to think about some things. You know, some things need to not be said too fast. Racism is established in message signaling concepts, which goes into the social conscience to kill it. To kill the social conscience. They're lethal concepts. Deadly concepts. Satan inspired those concepts. The world has been progressing toward a situation for man to have race consciousness and race esteem without having the burden of racism. The Quran, enlightenment, recognizes the natural or the inherent social value of race consciousness and racial esteem. I thank Allah that I have never been blown out into space from the realities of life. When you strive hard to please Allah in a world of confused language, I mean confused religious language, that makes it very difficult for you to see the clear guidance of Allah. It is easy for you to be blown away from your real life into nowhere and never find yourself. I thank Allah that I have been able to keep in the reality, at least in the reality of what is my life. Praise be to Allah. And by the way, Brother Imam, the Imam, he mentioned that I'm in Quran and in the Sunnah. That's true. But there are a lot of people in the Quran and in the Sunnah, and perhaps more in it than I am. Perhaps better authorities than I am. But what distinguished me from others is that I'm also in my own reality. Races or ethnic groups are distinguished by language and by color, or we may say by features. Of this, Allah the Dearest says, these differences are signs. These differences are signs. My color, this color, another man from Europe or Finland or somewhere, another color. My nose like this and mouth like this, he is different. Allah says of our colors, meaning our distinctions too, that these, they are signs. And the language, we know each other by the different language we speak and also by the different looks we have. And Allah says these are signs. In our holy book, the Quran, we are told Allah made us nations and tribes, quote, for us to acknowledge each other. Some translations say that you may know each other. For us to acknowledge each other, end quote, but continuing the message there, or the meaning, and that the best of us, again, quote, are the most regardful. And some translate that most regardful as the most God-fearing. The most God-fearing. Also, we are told Allah gave us our design or our form. And made most excellent, end quote, but continuing the meaning, and made most excellent our form. This design or description, or descriptive form, pardon me, is the same for all of us, for all races, that is. Quran enlightenment brings us to understand that every race and every person was created for this excellence. That is to say, we all have this excellence in us. It is clearly given in the Quran that Allah made, and I give you exact quote again, noble every son of Adam. End quote. Noble means deserving respect and worthy of honor. Noble implies the best bred people of this earth. That's what it implies. Noble also means that that person is not only worthy of honor, but that person is a person that gives due respect and honor to things that deserve due respect and honor. A respected person and also a respecting person. Nobility is, a person of nobility is the ideal person for the refined-minded people. For the refined-minded people. Some societies believe that certain creatures in the human family have no nobility and can never have nobility, that they are doomed to always be inferior to others. The ancient are most known for that. The ancient nations are most known for that ignorance. Thanks be to Allah, the Lord Creator, the one Lord, that civilization, education, scientific information has worked along with good human sentiments to get rid of a lot of that ugly, oppressive idea. Allah is good, so the Prophet says, the prayers and the peace be on him. I'm quoting the Prophet now. Allah is good and accepts only good, end quote. More correctly translated, I might make a second try at it if you don't mind. Quote, Allah is good and does not accept other than good. I'm not giving you anything that's unnecessary or anything that's got a whole lot of rubbish in it and just a little worth in it. I don't waste my time with stuff like that. Believe me. Allah is good and accepts only good. All right, we translate it again. We said, Allah is good and does not accept other than good or goodness. At-tayyibah means good, means goodness. It means those things that qualify to be called good by the best-minded thinker or the best, most decent people. Good. All right. Am I doing all right? All right. Okay, as long as I'm doing all right, I feel comfortable. And Muslim mir'at akhi, huh? So I have to check myself with you occasionally. The way of something that she knew, that if she was thinking of herself, she would readily get out of the way because she knows it's going to kill her.
We introduce each of the 113 chapters of the Quran and appear within the text of the ninth chapter. Every chapter of the Quran is accented by these two attributes. How wonderful it is. Not only that, the mother will, without even
two attributes introduce Allah's most celebrated goodness. These two attributes introduce,
but she will put herself in the way of death, certain death, to save the child. Now, don't brag too much. As human beings, animals will do the same. They are ready to die and sacrifice their whole life to save their young, their baby. They have great courage when the life or the security of their baby is threatened. They exhibit courage that wasn't even seemingly in them.
The animal that runs from you on sight will attack you if you threaten this baby's life. I have witnessed these things myself. Oh, yes.